thank the Lord tonight for being here. Share some scriptures with you that the Lord gave me and hope that it will bless you and I. St. John in 14, the Lord has inspired this scripture to me and gave me some other ones to go with it. But it starts out, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Thank the Lord tonight for knowing Jesus and knowing the way and knowing the truth and knowing the life. You know, there's many people today that do not have the privilege and understanding that we have. And really thank the Lord tonight for the truth. Thank the Lord that he gives us encouragement to let not our heart be troubled. There's many things in this world today that can trouble us. Many things that we hear and was mentioned about the end of time. We want to start reading some scriptures here in St. Matthew 22 and 30. You know, we do know that the end of time is getting nearer because of the signs that we see according to the Bible, yet we still do not know when, because that's not for us to know. But St. Matthew 22 and 30 says, I want to encourage us tonight to let not our heart be troubled. It says here, "For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as angels of God in heaven." That's St. Matthew 22 and 30. That's our future in heaven. We're to be like angels in heaven. I just think that's wonderful. Brother John mentioned there about, well, if the Lord would have came before we were born, we wouldn't have the chance to enjoy heaven. And, you know, that's really encouraging. And that's true. In St. Matthew 24, there's a scripture here that says, the sixth verse of St. chapter 24, "Ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled." You know, it does trouble us a little bit, doesn't it? But the Lord doesn't want us to be too troubled. He wants us to trust him, that he'll take care of us. "For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes and in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." I was thinking about a song that goes like this. "Be very sure. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock." We're seeing the spirit of wickedness and sin. Then we're seeing the spirit of false prophets. And we're seeing the spirit that hates Christians. All these things are coming to pass. Wickedness and evil. And it seems like it is waxing worse and worse. But in this song that the Lord just brought to my mind when I was reading this, "Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. And do not be too troubled about it, because the Lord don't want your heart to be troubled. He wants you to trust him. He wants you to have faith in him. He He wants you to know that God is greater than all these things. We're not reading this to discourage us, but we're reading this to encourage us that God is greater than these problems. He is the great I am. And not only is he the great I am, but he's our Savior. And we're part of him. We belong to him. And like Brother Philip mentioned this morning, he loves us and we love him. We're beloved of him and he loves us and he's going to help us. And I just thank the Lord for that encouragement that he doesn't want us to be troubled. In the same chapter down in the 29th verse, it says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened and the moon shall not give her light and the stars shall fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. You know, this powers of the heavens, this heavens here, the spiritual shaking. There's a spiritual shaking, and we do not want to be shook off. We want to hold steady and be very sure it's time for us to get close to the Lord, really close to the Lord, and watch and pray. I was reading a book this afternoon. It was something like this. It was watching a spiritual excellence, and it was saying, always watch and pray because the enemy is after our souls, and he never gives up until we die. And we don't want to have so much confidence in ourselves, but we want to know we need to watch and pray a lot every day and keep close to the Lord. If we do that, the Lord will help us. But we need to watch and pray because we are in some perilous times. We know that. And we don't know what's going to come next. These terrorists and all these things is happening in this world today. Unsafe place. People are feeling this unsafe feeling. That's why, you know, at the airport you have to go through all these checkups and all this screening and all this, because people in the world, they have no hope and they're scared and they don't want to die and they don't want, and that's the flesh. None of us really want to die per se, but we know that we want to die someday when it's God's time. But yet, you know, we want to protect our life. That's human. But you know, we have a hope. And the Lord said, let not your heart be troubled. And these things that come out, aren't you glad that you know Jesus, that you belong to him, and that though these things are going around us, that we have confidence that God is going to help us, and he's going to bless us, and he's going to give us strength. And thank the Lord for that. It says here, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. We know that we do believe this scripture. We believe that someday we are going to see Jesus coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. This is why we give our whole life to the Lord. This is why we live the way we do, because we really believe the Bible. We believe it's going to happen. We want to be ready for that. And don't let your heart be troubled, because this is going to happen. And I just thank the Lord that he can help us, and he can help us to make it and clouds of great glory. And then it says here, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. And you know the teaching where we want to get great into that, but the wickedness of marriage, teaching that women can marry women and men marry men, is so evil. It's against the Bible. It's not right. And, you know, it's this teaching that they want people to accept this. They want Christians to accept this, but the Christians will not accept it because it's not according to the Word of God. It's not. God created man and woman. He created man and woman to get married. That's what marriage is. And you know, these things that we see, it's even at the doors. Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed because of that sin. And it's evil. But they want Christians to accept these things, but we will not accept these things. We'll never accept these things because it's not according to the Bible. And the ministers nowadays, we're going to have to just teach the truth, teach what's in the Bible regardless, teach what's right. Because what is right is what is right. And what is truth is what is truth. And God said it's going to be a certain way it's going to be. And God loves people, but he does not love their sin. And we love people too, but we do not love their sin. We don't accept the sin. And you know, I'm so thankful that we have saints that love the Lord and are willing to teach the truth and live the truth. And we know that it's even at the doors. Likewise, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near even at the door. Saints, it's time for us to really, really realize that the end of time is at the door. Now, I don't know when. I don't know how many more years. That's not for us to know. But we know it is at the door. So it's getting close. But you know, we have a hope, like Sister Marie said, whether it's we see the end of time, we're all going to see it. But whether we live, we're alive when the Lord comes, or whether we're dead, God will rise us from the dead. But whenever it is, it's going to be our time. Someday it's going to be our time. We're all going to die. But, you know, I'm so thankful. It seemed like I was praying, and I said, no, Lord, as you get older, you think about it more. But, you know, I said, Lord, I don't know when we're going to die, but I know that you can help us through this. You can help us through it, Lord. And you can help us to be prepared and be ready. And he can warn us. He can tell us. You know, there's sometimes people get sick and you could have died with it. There's things I've had. I could have died with it. But the Lord told me it's not your time. You're not going to die with this affliction. You're going to be healed. And the Lord did heal me. And you know, the Lord will tell you when it's time. The Lord will tell you when you really, this is it. You're going to die with this affliction. He'll tell you. You live close enough, the Lord, he'll tell you. He'll prepare you for it. And you can go through it, saints. You can go through this because you have a hope of heaven and you don't have to be troubled. It's to let not your heart be troubled about all these things. Trust in the Lord. Okay, and we want to read them. We need to watch and pray. And St. Matthew 26 and 50, it says here in this verse, it says, Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they, and they laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand, I believe that was Peter, and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. And you know, this ear, when Peter did this, his ear was cut off. They were coming to get Jesus to crucify. But, you know, Jesus healed his ear. Jesus touched that man and healed that man's ear. And you would think that that would be enough right there for those soldiers to back off and leave him alone. But you just can see how evil when people are just after, they're just not seeing things. They're not looking at things. That's what's wrong with the world today. They don't take time. Like the Lord inspired me in Sunday school about resting and having spiritual rest. We're living in a world where people are so consumed. There's nothing wrong with a cell phone. But if you consume yourself with it, where you're constantly texting, constantly looking up Facebook, constantly so absorbed with it, you don't have time to pray and read like you should. It's taking your time. That's what's wrong. It's not that it's wrong. I use it. I text business and things like that, and family members, but to a certain point. But I put it away and take time to be with the Lord. I don't let it consume me. I'm not on Facebook. I chose, God told me not to do it. I'm not saying it's sin for you to do it, but for me, the Lord doesn't want me to do that because he needs my time. He needs my time to pray and study the Word and be prepared for messages. He needs me to keep my mind on those things. We can get so consumed with things of the age that we're in that is dangerous. And, you know, like I said, I'm not saying it could be used to communicate. It can be used in the right way. But we need to be very, very careful, because I'm saying something that people are getting too consumed with these things. And you're not being able to communicate with them the way you want to, because when you're trying to talk to them, they're talking to other people. And you're wanting to visit with them. You're wanting to be with them in that moment, you know. You've heard the thought that says be in the moment. You know, if you're with your husband out to lunch somewhere, you know, well, he wants your attention, or, you know, and she wants the man's attention to talk to her, you know. And you know, this is what I'm trying to say. If you're with your daughter, you're with your son or whatever, you know, you want their attention, or you're with your mom or sister. And so we need to be careful. We're living in an age of communication, which is good to a certain point. We use it right. But we need to watch and pray, because we're at the doors of eternity. And there's so many things to do for Jesus. There's so much work to do. And you know, we all have our little part to do, but we all can't do it all. We're human. We have limitations, but God wants us to do what we can do and be faithful to Him. But this scripture, you know, about them coming to get Jesus, he healed his ear. And then he said, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" You know, Jesus could have saved himself. He didn't need Peter to cut this man's ear with a sword. That's what he's trying to say, that, you know, I don't need this way to fight. I don't have to fight these soldiers. If I want to be delivered, I can call 12 legions of angels. And I'm sure that's not all the angels that the God has. I mean, I looked that up. I was wondering about it. And 12 legions of angels, they said a legion is somewhere approximately of 6,000. 6,000 is a legion. So if you times that by 12, around 72,000 angels. 72,000 angels. Isn't that amazing? I mean, can we comprehend really what heaven will be like? We heard this morning, you know, wouldn't it be nice to talk to Daniel? And, you know, we think sometimes, well, what are we going to do for eternity? We'll have plenty to do. All the saints that we've never met, all the communication there. But, you know, the Lord has got something prepared for us that we can't even imagine here. And God has, He doesn't want your heart to be troubled. He's going to help you through. We've got the best thing in this world is being saved. We've just got the best thing to hold on to it. But now Jesus said, "How then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be?" In that same hour, said Jesus, well, we don't want to get into that. I just wanted to get that main part right there. That this is, he could have called 12 legions of angels, but he didn't do that. We want to go down to the 64th verse of that same chapter. And it says, well, let's read up there just a little bit high. "The high priest arose," in the 62nd verse, 62, "and said unto him, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. So Jesus answered him that time. And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast said, Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." He told the man right there. Well, they went on to blaspheme him, say he was blaspheming and stuff. But anyway, we know that he wasn't. We know that he is the Son of God. And we know that he is alive right now. And we know that we've got a heaven to go to. And like Jesus said, you're going to see me on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Isn't this wonderful? Let's see, I want to go over here to St. John 1 and 51. It says, verily, verily, it's talking about the fig tree and how he had, talking about Philip, I'm sorry. He's talking about Philip too and the fig tree, but he said, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Talking about Nathanael. And Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel, because God said, Jesus said, I saw you. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. What kind of blessing that's going to be to see the angels ascending and descending around Jesus, coming in the clouds of heaven. We're going to see that. We're either going to see it, either God's going to come while we're alive, or if we're dead, we'll come out of the grave. The dead in Christ shall rise first, but we all are going to see this. Right now, what we're reading, we're going to see it someday. So why should we be too troubled? We could be troubled to a certain point, but the Lord don't want our heart to be troubled because we have got the very best being saved. We got the very best. We can look forward to this. St. John 5 and 24 says here, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear it, that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. You just imagine some that, a lot of the saints have been buried over here, and you can walk and read when they died and all that. But, you know, they're dead in Christ. They're going to arise from those graves. What an hour. What a moment. But marvel not this. It's going to happen. And, you know, this is so amazing, isn't it? But it's true. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, not only the saints, but the people that are not saved, they're going to rise too, and they're going to, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. This is a terrible thing to be lost. But you know, it's a wonderful thing to be saved, isn't it? And the Lord wants us to be encouraged tonight. We want to read over here in St. John 20 some about Jesus' resurrection. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, which was John, beloved John, whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. Now I just want us to get into this moment in our minds and think about what was going on and how they were feeling. And he stooping down, looking and saw the linen clothes lying, yet went in not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lined with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. You know, one time I believe I was reading, there was, it was something like, maybe someone here might know, but when you were a guest somewhere, if you would fold your napkin a certain way and you notice that this napkin was folded and laid aside somewhere else, that it meant you were going to be coming back or something like that. It meant a special meaning. But it says here that the linen clothes were wrapped together, the napkin that was about his head, not lined with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and he believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again into their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And the angels speak to her, and they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, and your Father, and to my God, and your God. This is our risen Savior. This is so wonderful, because this gives us hope. This gives us so hope. This is what our whole life is about, that this life is temporary. This is soon over. But we have a hope that Jesus rose from the dead. We know he did. And we know that we are going to have another life in heaven. This is a wonderful blessing. And it says, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, and I read something about that the disciples were so afraid that they barred those doors. They were not only shut, but they had lumber or whatever they had. They barred those doors because they were afraid that the Jews were going to come in and get them and kill them too, because they were followers of Christ. But it didn't. The doors being shut or the doors being barred did not stop our risen Savior going in there. He went in there miraculously. But you know what says here? He said, Peace be unto you. It said, they were assembled for fear of the Jews. Came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. You know, we have a song, So Send I You. It's a beautiful song, So Send I You. You know, that's what the Lord wants to do, every one of us. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, I believe, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger. See, he knew what Thomas had said. And behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believe. And you know, saints, God wants us to believe. He wants us to have faith. And we read these words, it will encourage us. Do not be troubled so much about what's going around you, but get close to God. Get so close to God, because he is the God of battles. He is so He's the great I am. He can take us through anything. We must believe. You know, he wants us, he doesn't want us to doubt. He doesn't want us to have fear. He wants us to trust him. He's going to help us. He's going to take us through the future. He's going to help us out. You know, it says, he said, be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. You know, he believed right then. But what goes on to say, Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Oh, isn't it wonderful that we're blessed people? We haven't seen Jesus in the flesh, but he's here tonight. He's with us. We don't see him maybe in the flesh, but yet we believe. We still believe. And one of these days, like the song says, our faith will be lost in sight. And one of these days, our faith will be lost in sight. Praise the Lord. And it says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. There's no other way for us to be saved. It's only through Jesus' name, only through his blood. That's our way to be saved. And over here in St. John 21, Peter, it tells about Simon Peter going fishing. And then the third verse, it says, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing. You know, I don't know. It says that Peter was a little bit downhearted, you know, he wasn't really going out and doing what Jesus wanted to do. He was supposed to be going out and preaching. They were supposed to be going out working for the Lord. But because Jesus died and all this was going on, they were kind of down. And so he thought, well, I know what I can do. I know how to fish. So I'm going to go back to my occupation and I'll fish. But you know, when the Lord wants you, well, he will go after you. And he will seek you and he will call your heart. That's what he wanted to. You know, I know you're fishing and I can bless your fishing and I can give, you can fish all night and not catch anything. But when I bless your fishing, you can get multitudes of fish. That's no problem for God. But that's not what God wants you to do. He wants you to be fishers of men. And you need to not be discouraged, not letting your heart be troubled. Go forth, go do what God wants you to do. And you know, it's just like us. We can think about the world's condition. And we can think, what's the use? There's so much false prophets. There's so much false teaching. And our relatives and everything, people that we know, friends. And you just get to the point, you think, who wants the truth? Who really wants the truth? You know, is it just the saints only? Is there anybody out there that wants to be saved? Is there anyone out there that wants to get out of Babylon and false religion and false teaching? Is there anybody that has a real heart for God anymore? But dear ones, we got to go forth. We've got to not get down like Peter and go fishing. We need to go and believe that there's somebody out there that will hear the truth. There's somebody that would enjoy Monarch besides just us. We enjoy it. We love it. But God wants some new people coming and he wants to save, and he's doing that. He's doing that. But there's more. God wants to save more people. It would be wonderful if it was so saints. God would bless the truth in the last days so much that we'd have to have two tabernacles. Or God would just bless. You know, there's nothing impossible with God. Oh, I just thank the Lord. These scriptures are so wonderful. But you know, Jesus said to them, he said, children, I said, Simon Peter said, I go fishing. And so they all thought, well, you know, how you influence other people, we'll go too. That's what we'll do. It seems like that's the way we are sometimes. You know, we're influenced by others. And we can be influenced other people by good too. We can influence them for good. We can influence them for the right thing. And you know, Jesus said to them, he saw all that they were doing. And it said they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. They didn't catch anything because God didn't want them to catch anything. Because he was trying to teach them a lesson.
I didn't call you to go fishing for real fish. You know, that is not sin to fish, but that's not what you're supposed to be doing. You know, he's died on the cross. He's done all everything. Everything's in place. He did what he was supposed to do. Now I'm going to send you. I got to go back to heaven, and you've got to get out there, and you've got to start teaching people. You've got to start baptizing them. You've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You got work to do. Peter, you not be out there fishing. You got work to do. But what did he say to him? He was so sweet to him. And this is, they fished all night and caught nothing. And when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. He said, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. And it said, Jesus, therefore that disciples whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. John, he was close to the Lord. And he knew right then it was the Lord. He said, It's the Lord. Oh, I tell you, I read these scriptures, we get so inspired that this is so real. This is so true. Jesus did all these things to encourage us to have faith in him. He said, It is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard it, he went and got his coat on. But anyway, the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, and they were dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus said unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. Praise God, you know, this is wonderful. Jerry went fishing yesterday in Tulsa with Kevin and Paul. But, you know, they caught a few fish. I wasn't there, but, you know, I know what wonderful would be to catch that many fish. You know, if you did, your boat would sink, wouldn't it? You couldn't even get it in there. But, you know, this is wonderful. You know, I don't know how many here go fishing, but, you know, Jesus wants us to be fishers of men. That's really what he wants us to do. Your camp meeting's coming up here. We got work to do. We get it all got work to do. And we got to be fishers of men. Oh, it says here, Jesus said unto them, Come and dine. You know, I just think how sweet Jesus is. He's that way with us. I'm not saying we sin or nothing, but we get off track a little bit, get busy with something. And he said, Come on over here, pray with me, talk to me. You know, he's just so sweet. He always gets us right back where he wants us to be. That's the way Jesus is. Always talking to us. Always trying to help us. Oh, don't you love him tonight? Isn't it wonderful? You know, Jesus said to them, Simon, he said, Come and dine. And none of the disciples just asked him, Who art thou? Because they knew it was the Lord. And Jesus came and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time. I imagine their hearts were beating. I imagine they were so excited they probably didn't know how to contain themselves. But Jesus was alive, and he was eating with them. And he's talking to them, and they just not even ask anything. Because, you know, I'm on holy ground here. You know, this is Jesus, and it's the Lord. He's come back. I mean, in their memory, they could probably see that cross and the blood and Jesus dying and putting him in that crib. Now he's alive. He's here talking to us. And they're on holy ground here now. They're on holy ground. And you know, Jesus says to them, Simon, and it said, this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after they had was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon, Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he said, Lord, you know that I love you. He said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?
He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. You know, the Lord doesn't have to say a whole lot to us sometimes. Three little words, feed my sheep. But he gets his message across, doesn't he? You know, the three sweetest words in the earth language they say is, I love you. But doesn't it mean a lot? It means a lot, doesn't it? So, anyway, I just thank the Lord that the Lord did all these things. We want to end with some scriptures here in Acts. Let not your heart be troubled. Acts 1 and 3, it says, To him also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them for 40 days. No wonder those disciples could go out and be martyred. No wonder they didn't quit. But you know, we can be the same way. We can be faithful. And speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and this is what Jesus said to them at the end, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And then they went on. We could read more, but they went on and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they went forth working and feeding. And I imagine there was probably many times that maybe Peter got weary or tired, or John or some of them. And they think about that day when Jesus was there on the shore. Maybe they thought about the boat and was fished all night, didn't get anything. But the next day when the Lord blessed the multitude of fishes, and when Jesus told them, come and dine, and then he said, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Many times I imagine when they got weary, or Paul or any of them, or you know, they thought back of some of the things that Jesus did. And that's the way it is with us saints. Don't let your heart be troubled. When the enemy comes in against you in any way, think of the things that God has done. You know, I said the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. I thank the Lord tonight.